Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. In February, we are discussing relationships in the podcast and in the blog, whether that's your relationship with your spouse, children, neighbors, those in your community. There's a lot to cover. I'm so excited to have a returning guest on the podcast, Catholic coach and mother of seven, and my mom, Janet Quinlan. We're going to talk about parents growing into relationship with their children through different life stages and how to foster that deep relationship that lasts hopefully a lifetime. Mom, thank you for being on the show again.
Oh, Mary Grace, baby number six for me. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, we're actually really excited to talk to you today because we've had you on the show. I had you on the show last season and then also a couple seasons ago. And we talked about different things about creating a bright and cheerful home as well as how to have a great relationship with your in-laws. And so today we're going to talk about, having a great relationship with your children. And I think you're very qualified to speak about this. go ahead. You want to say something?
No. So just first of all, the fact that you would consider having me on for this topic is both humbling and joyful and just really grateful that that's what you think of our relationship. So thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So let's just start off. So if someone, let's say, hasn't heard about you or, is first listening to a Janet Quinlan podcast, can you explain a little bit about your family and just maybe even touch a little bit about your relationship with your children?
Sure. So my husband, Michael, and I have been married for 40 years, 40 and a half years. He would probably count down the days, but we've been married for a little over 40 years. And we have seven children. We have two babies in heaven and seven children here. And five of them are married. And we have 22 going on 24 grandchildren. And so what do I do? So a number of years ago, my daughters, you and your sister, so we have two daughters and then five boys. They were commenting about the lack of relationship that their friends had with their moms. And they were kind of surprised. You were surprised by it. And so that's why I got into this, because both you and Kathleen encouraged me to start talking to basically your generation, Kathleen. So for those who don't know, Kathleen is the oldest. Mary Grace is number six, and then we have number seven. But the two girls really talked to me about how their friends don't have relationships with their mom that they would consider a mentor or a coach kind of relationship. And so that's why I got into this business, if you want to call it. Started my blog and then started my podcast and got trained as a life coach. And I focus on coaching women in their marriage relationship and their parenting relationship. And so I think that the idea of understanding your relationship with your children is something that is a process, right? So you welcome a baby into the world, and then before you know it, you're walking her down the aisle. So what I try to do is help women at all those stages be the kind of parent slash friend slash teacher for each stage that they're going through with their children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome. And let's just go ahead and start with how that looks. So you did mention, having a baby and then all of a sudden they're getting married. I can relate. So how would you describe, each of those stages? Let's say childhood, early childhood to adolescence to adulthood. How did, you can explain some of your personal experience or just in general, how that relationship starts and then changes as it goes in order to, develop that kind of, the relationship and the friendship with your children.
Yeah. I think it begins first with having a goal. So your dad and I had as a goal for our relationship, actually, to have a close-knit, happy, virtuous, faith-filled family. That was what we wanted. It was the thing that we talked about on our first date. When he asked me, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? I was 22, but he was asking, 21 actually, he was asking, you know, what do you want to do? And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a family where my children, where I taught my children virtues and values and morals and the faith so that they could go on to have their families that do the same. So I think we have to really be very intentional about what our goals are for our children. In other words, no matter what stage you're in right now, because I know that there are people of all ages that listen to this podcast. And first message I want to say is it's never too late. It's you're never done and you messed up and you can't do anything anymore. But you know, what kind of a family life, what kind of a relationship do I want with my children in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 30 years. And that was our guiding principle in the way we raised you children. So first, have goals. And second, then it's incumbent upon us to have the environment to manifest those goals, really, to make them a reality. And so what does that mean? We look at the stages of our children and we decide what is appropriate here. So I don't like the word parent, to be quite honest, because when you look it up, what does a parent do? It kind of isn't really clear. But when we go back to the teachings of like Pope John Paul II, he's very clear in a parent is a first teacher. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we think of teacher in our society, we think of someone who necessarily teaches addition, subtraction, facts, how to diagram a sentence. And while that all may be true, it isn't the fundamental purpose of a teacher. The fundamental purpose of a teacher, well, is to teach values, how to behave, how to self-discipline. And so when we first have children, you know, we have these beautiful little babies, and our job actually is to get them to be independent as soon as possible so that they can then feel the self-esteem of doing things on their own. They can do their own things so that we're not constantly taking care of them when they can take care of themselves. And they can grow into maturity as they should, really, and not dependent upon us. And to me, that's the first part of friendship. You know, what does a friend do? A friend brings someone closer to the truth, which is God, and supports them in the good things that will nurture them in their life. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so even when we have these babies and these two-year-olds and these three-year-olds, all the preschool age, we are a friend when we put boundaries in place so that they know how to behave. When we have expectations, loving expectations, so that we challenge them to be self-disciplined, to learn to self-regulate, right, their emotions, and, you know, to teach them their ABCs and their numbers, and to take them outside and take them for walks and talk about God and all of those things. I think the beginning stages of friendship looks like that. More teaching and authority and less, hey, let's go have a tea party. I mean, which is fine if you want, but it isn't the prevailing way that we show up for our children at that age. Hmm.
You know, when you think of parents who want this relationship, they want this friendship with their children, what are some other challenges that parents could face in establishing this friendship with their children that you could address and say, hey, no, I mean, you know, there's a different way, or, you know, here's another suggestion.
Yeah, I think that, I think we're kind of coming out of it a little bit, but there was this stage where indulging children, giving them what they wanted would make them happy. Mm-hmm. And it isn't. In fact, as adults, you know, there are a lot of things that we may want and they don't make us happy. But hopefully we have learned to, self-select what actually does make us happy and what doesn't. Like for me, mm-hmm. chocolate really makes me happy. It's like the thing that I love, and I love beautiful desserts and I love all of that. But does it really make me happy? No, not really. Not fundamentally. It maybe is a quick burst of, ooh, that feels good, but that is not true happiness. And so what I would just encourage parents that when they see all the things, and we live in this culture where we have a lot of money, we're a very rich culture. Even the people who are the poorest of our culture are rich in world standards. And we may fall into the trap. And as parents, sometimes we fall into that peer pressure trap of, oh, the parents are doing things for their friends, their our children's friends, therefore we should probably do that. And the answer is no. We do not need to indulge our children. Mm. Our job is to raise our children with strong identification of what is important in life and what is not important. And when we go in and start indulging and giving, we lose perspective on what we're supposed to teach our children, and our children grow up without a firm sense of what gives them happiness. Hmm. So, you know, for instance, when we were raising all you kids, we didn't have the money to go on yearly vacations. We just didn't, we didn't have the money. Did we have it? I mean, we really didn't actually because we were spending our money on the things of our life. Right. And we didn't want to go into debt for it.
Food.
So food. Well, you know what? It's interesting. Now I'm going to backtrack a little bit on that. We could have had the money, I suppose, but what was important to us were music lessons, and spending money on good books around the house, and homeschooling our kids. Those were our values at the time. They're not for everybody, but they were for us. And so we chose to spend our money different ways. And yet when I've asked all you kids as adults, so we went on two vacations really, right? We went to Lake Tahoe once, and then we went to Florida and Disney World. And when I ask all you kids, did you miss the yearly vacations? And none of you say yes. So it's really important for parents to see that just giving your kids things is not going to create a close bond between you. Okay. It is in the connection that you have every day.
And it goes back to your goals of your family life that you discussed with your husband prior to, well, even in the midst of having kids, if you're like a little late to the game or you know, just deciding now, you know, that's important.
And just if I could go off that for a second, I did mean to say your dad came from a very different family than I came from, very different. And so for those who, I think it's probably more prevalent than it isn't, where couples come together and they both bring their family of origin together, they're going to be very different. And so there has to be a continuous conversation about what do we want and how do we get there. And one spouse may need to see that, oh, I need to give up this other thing because it's not really important. And then at another time, the other spouse may decide, oh, I can see where, you know, what he's saying is important. So it is a continuous conversation. And even as all of you guys are out of the house now, we still have conversations of how do we keep our family life together? How do we keep these close-knit ties, even when everybody has large families and they're busy with their own families? How do we still keep connection?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess I probably should have asked you this to begin with. I mean, you talked about it a little bit. Just like if someone were to say, okay, what does friendship with your child, Janet, look like? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? But what could that mean as an overall, you know, just something to look forward to or something to reach, to strive for?
Yeah. So what friendship always means to me is that we have a mutual affection. We communicate well. We have a, a connection, a bond, which is different with each of you children. I have a different kind of bond with each of you. And yet we're all very close. So I always knew that I wanted, when you guys were in your 20s and 30s and out of the house, I wanted to just laugh and have fun with you. I wanted to do things that we enjoyed together. I wanted to have a connection so that you felt comfortable coming and talking to me and asking my advice if you wanted it. And that you always felt like I was in your corner. I was always going to be your champion, that I would always encourage you. And sometimes I would challenge you to, think about whether or not you needed to make some changes in your life in order to find the happiness that you're really seeking. Mm-hmm. So how did I live that when you were four? Mm-hmm. Well, when you had a tantrum and I helped you have emotional regulation and say, okay, let's talk about this. Is this really that important to have that much emotion about it? Mm-hmm. Or if there's something that you really wanted, and I would say, nope, it's just not important. I mean, sometimes I had to be the guide to say no. And sometimes I needed to be at the place where I helped you look through, any decisions you were making and decide the best decision for yourself. And it really depended on how old you are and how mature you were. Early on, as parents, we do that in order to model for our children how to make decisions. As you get into grade school, then we start giving you decisions to make yourself. And when they blow up in your face, we help you by supporting you and say, okay, now what are you going to do? Mm. So, and especially as you get into adolescence and high school, we really give the decisions to you. Okay, now what are you going to do about that? But when things blew up in your face, when friendships weren't, what you had hoped they would be, I think you came to us or to me. I mean, and so it's your dad did the same thing. So it wasn't like I was the only one in our family. Your dad had a different way of doing it, which we can talk about later. But, you came to me and cried or, just talked to me about what did you need to do in order to change the situation a little differently? How else did you need to think about the situation in order to realize, oh, this is not your fault. It's just that girl being mean. Had nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. So, and then as you get into college, my friendship was really more dialed in and my mothering was pulled back until I needed to step in and say, why? Wait a minute. You've made a choice here. It's not a good choice. There are consequences for that. Mm-hmm. And now, I'm not that parent. Mm-hmm. I still love you as the parent, but I am really, I think, mm-hmm. your friend, your confidant, your the place where you go when you feel like you don't have sometimes we can't talk to our spouse about some things. And sometimes, we just need to talk to someone else and get a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So, and as my older daughter says, every time she would come to me and she'd tell her husband, I'm going to talk to my mom. And mm-hmm. she always knew I took her husband's side because more often than not, he was the one who had the perspective that she needed to see. And so anyway, as your friend, it is absolutely not my job to get into your marriage relationship now. It's mm-hmm. just to be here if you need me as your friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe you can speak to this as well, just about the idea of sharing in the midst of a friendship as your children get older. There's obviously a lot more life changes happening. There's a lot more, with adult children, the relationship, as you explained, looks very different. How is that as a parent in sharing what your life going through with your husband, how does that look different in sharing as a friendship? Because people think friendship's a two-way street. So you share and you go back and forth. Is that different as a parent to adult children, or is it, it's the same, you share?
No, it's different. It's absolutely different. And it is the message I want to send to parents about sharing. It is that it is not your freedom to burden your children with any issues that you have in your life, especially marital issues. And so I know that you kids probably heard us arguing. You know, it's when you live in a house, you hear arguments. But actually, I think those arguments were few and far between, because the issues that Dad and I were dealing with were ones that we were very quiet about and were very serious about, because we did not want you guys to understand issues. Like I said, your dad came from, and you know this, he came from a really difficult family. It was, you know, it had a lot of dysfunction going on, and he didn't even know it was dysfunctional. And I didn't know it was until years into our marriage. And we really understood the profound negative effect it had upon him. And that was not any of your children's business, to be quite honest. It was within our sacrament of marriage, within our relationship, to work it out. And then we got to a place where you guys were older, and we thought, oh my gosh, have we given them the impression that marriage is so easy and it's so great because we didn't share things with them? Mm-hmm. And so we felt, you know, we prayed a lot about it and we talked a lot about it, your dad and I, and we decided that as you got older, there were some things that we needed, not details, but things that we just needed to help you understand that relationships are hard, because we didn't want you thinking that there wasn't any major conflict in our relationship. Because then if you guys came into major conflict in your marriage, you would be thinking, oh, well, there's something really wrong here because my parents didn't have this. No, it's just none of your business. We had it. It was just none of your business. So I do agree that, and I think parents have to be very careful. We live in this world where we are like vomiting our emotions everywhere, all over the place. And it's wrong, because it burdens our children, and it doesn't actually help us move forward in the difficulties that we're dealing with. Mm. So even now, I mean, I'll go to my grave, and there are things about our marriage you will never know. Like my parents, you know, they had troubles in their marriage. When I was in high school, it got pretty bad because I was the only one home, but my two older brothers were off in college. One day, my first year of marriage, my mom called and said, I don't want to live like this anymore. And I just want you to know that I'm pretty sure I'm going to leave grandpa. And I was very sad, of course, but I understood what she was saying. Mm. And then we never heard anything about it. And then they celebrated, you know, I don't know, close to 60 years of marriage. They figured it out. I guess, you know, whatever it was, and it was not my business. But I watched them, and that I think has been my model. I watched them privately and quietly, the two of them, whatever they needed to do to deal with their relationship so that they could be your grandparents when you were, you know, much older. Mm-hmm. So I know that's kind of a tangent on the topic that we're talking about, our relationship with our children, mm-hmm. but it really isn't, because our marriage relationship is absolutely the most critical relationship in our lives, and it affects our relationship with our children. It just necessarily does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So being, you know, on the same page as your husband is critical. So how, let's say we have a lot of different opinions out there in the world and about parenting and how you parent your children and how you become friends with your children. And let's say we have some, you know, you have a parent that's just like, this is unrealistic. I don't know how to do this. Like, my child doesn't talk to me. They don't, you know, I ask them how their day was and they just are not interested in telling me about that day, or they go to their rooms, or that, you know, there's like a wall. And I don't know how to even begin to have this relationship with them. What advice would you give those parents that might be kind of loving this idea, but also like, how does this even work for me?
Yeah. So, you know, when I knew that we were going to be talking, I have this program on my computer with all my blog posts, all my podcasts, all the, you know, talks I have given. And it's kind of my own AI. And so I asked it, what is my prevailing, what are the most important, what's the most important component to having a good relationship with your children? And it filtered through all of the things that I have learned and discussed. And it says, said that providing a sanctuary for growth was basically everything that I say distilled into one thing. And I think that that's very helpful for people, providing a sanctuary for growth. So what does sanctuary mean? It is a consecrated place. It's a place of refuge and protection. And I think that as parents, that is our job for our children. That's emotionally, physically, spiritually, we provide the sanctuary for growth in our home, in our family. And it is never do as I say, but not as I do. We have to be the first leaders in the way we behave, right? In our values, our morals, and our faith life so that we can teach our children. Getting more practical with, okay, now how do we do this for our children? As you, I think you mentioned it earlier, it's never too late. When, you know, we were kind of bumping along in my family. My mom was a full-time teacher. And so, I mean, we had a close relationship. She was a great mom. But I wouldn't say that we were really, really close. She was a good mom. But I didn't feel the closeness of a friend. And then in high school, as I mentioned, my dad and she were having some difficulties, and she knew it because, I mean, she knew that I was really struggling because I wasn't home very much. I went to friends' homes and stuff. And so when I was 15, I was a sophomore in high school, she started really taking me driving on long trips, like an hour away to go to shopping mall because the stores weren't open in Missouri on Sundays, so we would go to Illinois. And so she would let me drive, and then we would shop for an hour, which, number one, I knew she always liked to drive, and that she let me drive for an hour there and an hour back. And number two, that we shopped because she did not like shopping. And what that said to me was, I'm important to my mom. This is important. She's doing something here to connect with me. So she looked to see what I might like and then said, hey, let's go do that, even though I knew she didn't like it. But that was really the beginning when I was in high school of a friendship with my mom. And as you know, I'm very close to my mom now. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter at what stage. There are, I think, three basic things that people need to work on. And one is connection. So that's how my mom connected. But we can connect with that strong family bond where we have, and we speak of shared values and experiences. So as a family, we were the Quinlans. And so I would encourage people to say, who are you as a family? Like what, if someone were to see one of your children, they would say, oh, I know you're a Quinlan. How do they know? It's by the way you act, your values, your morals, your faith life, right? Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, you have to limit screen time. You must. So when people say, how do I get my child out of their room? You say, you're not allowed to be in your room. For some reason, we as parents are afraid to do that, okay? You're not allowed to be in your room because we want you in our family, with our family. Now, as they get older, I think that there's some time, but not all the time. Of course, the devices are not in the bedrooms. They can't be, because then they're bonding and connecting with strangers or other people rather than you, okay? Rather than you, the mom, the dad, the siblings. We have to limit extracurricular activities. I coach so many moms and they're like, how do I connect with my kids? I don't have time. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? Well, they go to school and then they come home and then they have gymnastics and then they have basketball and then they have homework and then they go to bed. I'm like, well, you make sure that you have time where you connect because that has to be top priority. The second thing is communication. I think if you asked me, what is the one thing that I think I did well? I think it's that I made you communicate and I listened. So another story from my childhood, I was in fourth grade. Can you believe I remember this? And my mom sat me down on the couch and she said, how was school today? And I said, fine. And off I went. And she said, no, come back here. You tell me, what did you do today? And she did start that. And she did that, you know, frequently. And then I did that with you guys. What'd you do today? Oh, nothing. A lot of people just leave it at that. No, ask questions. Who'd you have lunch with? You know, what's going on in math class? Did you do all your math today? You know, all those kinds of questions to ask your children what's going on in your life. And then consistency. We have to be consistent in the way we show up. Now, consistency isn't 100%. We'll never be 100% perfect. But if we're 80%, that's really consistent. Consistent in the way we interact with our children every day, in the boundaries that we place, the expectations that we have, and then the overarching theme of our job is to teach our children values, virtues, and faith.
That's great. All those are very practical things and also very simple, which I think is very helpful for our parents too, because it can be overwhelming, you know, and to know that you can start by just saying, how was your day? And then asking an additional question, or, you know, by having those things in line with your family, like what your goals are as a family, what your goals are as parents. And it's not, you know, you mentioned a lot about your experience as your mother, but also like as a father, my dad was, you know, similar, like we had a different relationship, but it's all very doable and seems overwhelming, but it can, as you continue to do it, I'm sure it's a lot easier to do as you keep it up.
Yeah. And I would also say to the women who are listening to this podcast, you might consider challenging your husband very lovingly, okay? Don't shame him, don't embarrass him. But my husband actually had no idea how to have a relationship with young children or even older children. His dad was a World War II vet. He came back, had a nervous breakdown, became an alcoholic. I mean, and then he healed, but it took a very, very long time to heal. So the first time my husband ever opened Christmas presents with children were with his own. And so I just offer that because I think that there are a lot of men who did not have good father role models, how to be a good father. And so I would encourage your dad to say, hey, why don't you go do that? Hey, why don't you take them somewhere? Hey, why don't you do this? And then as they got older, it was much easier for him to connect because he already had that little connection. But then it was easier for him to connect with teenagers and older kids, you know, adult kids, than when it was with the little kids. But I thought that it was important that the connection with the littles would enhance his connection. He would say 100% that is accurate. So I think that, and if your men and your wives are not connecting, if they're too busy, lovingly say, hey, I heard this person on the podcast. And, you know, what if we really make sure at dinner that we're talking to the children and there's no phones, there's no tech at the dinner table, and we're asking questions and we're listening. So I think both spouses can challenge the other if they see that one or the other is you know, allowing other things to get in between them and their relationship with their children.
Excellent. I feel like we could keep going on with this, but our time is nearly up. But we'd love to have you share, since you've been on the show last, I know you have a lot of things going on JanetQuinlan.com. So would you mind just sharing with us a little bit more about what's going on with your work?
Yes. So many people have seen that I have a parenting program called Virtue-Based Parenting. I open it up about four times a year. And there's a coaching component along with the teaching part. And then I also have, it's called Faith and Family Project, and it's a monthly membership where each month I meet with the group for three times, and I teach on one of the four pillars. So it's marriage, parenting, home management, and mindset and faith life. And each month we take a topic from each of the pillars. And then I'm open for coaching. And so it's a way for people to get coaching from me to not have me tell them what to do, unless they ask, but to really solidify what their values are, what their goals are, and then how to achieve them. Because we have people from all different walks of life, all different ages, moms from all different ages and walks of life, and they have different needs. And so what I do in that membership is address those needs. And then I also, because people asked for it, so I created a course called The Mother-in-Law, Daughter-in-Law Dynamic, which you can purchase whenever. It's always available. And it really, really, really helps women, whether you're a mother-in-law or a daughter-in-law, understand the other, learn to give each other the benefit of the doubt, get along with each other, and also process some very painful situations. There are some very difficult situations that many of my women are dealing with, and I help them learn how to detach when they need to, how to challenge when they need to, and then how to look at it differently so that the emotion is softened a little bit and they can see where they can still have the relationship with either their son or their mother-in-law the way they want to have it, or their, you know, and also it helps, obviously, your marriage.
Beautiful. Thank you. Awesome. We'll put those links into our show notes as well. So thank you so much, Janet, my mother, for being on the show today. We love talking to you about your relationship with your children. So thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Can I add one more thing?
Because,
Okay. I just want to add one more thing. I do want to say, because I was going to say, thank you, Mary Grace, for turning out so well. And when I said that in my head, I thought, the thing I didn't say, of course, and I often don't say it because it's just so natural to me, is that fundamentally we have to have a relationship with God. And by the grace of God, you know, our children turn out well. Sometimes they don't choose the road that we would like them to choose, but we still have to have that deep relationship and trust in God so that we are the parents that he wants us to be, and that our children will make the choices that he also wants them to make. Mm.
That's a great way to close it. That's perfect. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Mary Grace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.